So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and conceived and bare a son. The Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel. For a little while I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. The Lord has commanded Hosea to take this unfaithful woman as his wife. And she was unfaithful to him. And she bore him children. There is symbolism in the names that were given to his children. With Jezreel and with Ruhamah. She bore him a son. I remember looking and wondering what these names mean. Well, it's right there. We'll not save them by bow, not by sword. In verse 7, not by battle, not by horses, and not by horsemen. She conceived to bear a son. And God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. And verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. Now this is repeating Abraham, the promise given to Abraham, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in that place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. Now there's some really good stuff in the whole book of Hosea. It's 11 chapters. That's about 20 minutes worth of reading. I just want to kind of highlight some things and skip ahead to chapter 3. Gomer ended up being unfaithful to her husband, Hosea. He went and found her, and he bought her back. He purchased her. So in chapter 3, verse 2, he says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and for a half a homer of barley. I don't know how much a homer is. Anybody have any ideas? Help me out. I don't know. I'm sure it was a substantial amount of barley that he purchased his unfaithful wife. Then in the rest of the book of Hosea, there's messianic prophecies that have to do with Jesus and with Israel being backsliding. If I just touch on chapter 5, verse 7, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord. They have begotten strange children. Now shall a moth deliver them with their portions. Hosea spends quite a bit of time comparing of the idolatry of Israel with the unfaithfulness of his wife. And that is actually a very heartbreaking, very heart-wrenching thing to have happen. And so here is God, through Hosea, drawing this parallel that this idolatry and this adultery is kind of the same things. There's so much good stuff in Hosea. Let's see, I want to skip. Oh, verse 11, it says, and my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. God withholds his anger. He withholds his judgment, just as if Hosea purchases his wife back from slavery for the 15 pieces of silver and a substantial amount of barley. And verse 13, verse 4, or chapter 13, verse 4, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. There is no Savior but me. He is the one that purchases Israel from out of slavery, from out of Egypt. And then a little bit farther into chapter 13 of Hosea, verse 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. So he will redeem his people. There's so much good stuff in Hosea that we just don't have the time to get through everything that's in this whole book. And there's other stuff that I want to talk about. But this substantial amount of the book of Hosea is devoted to the unfaithfulness of Israel and comparing it to a marriage. And that's one love story, that Hosea loved Gomer, even though she was unfaithful. The other love story I want to read is the book of Ruth. It's the entire book of Ruth. Four chapters. Let's start reading. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Okay, so there was a famine. They went to Moab. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Also both of them and the women was left of her two sons and her husband. So that's kind of a real quick, fast thing. Everybody died, so here's mom-in-law and the two daughters-in-law. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab back to Bethlehem, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. Now Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, Go, return, each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. And they said to her, Surely we will return with you to your people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? Are there any that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, I should have a husband also tonight, and also bear sons. Would you tarry for them until they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, no. It grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice, and they wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people, and unto her gods. Return thou after your sister-in-law. Verse 16, And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave you, or to return from following after you. For whether you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. So the Lord do to me, and more also, if aught but put but death part me and you. Now that was devotion. I will go with you. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God, and where you die, I will die. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking with her. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. To come to pass, they were come to Bethlehem, and all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. And why do you call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Chapter 2, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. This was Naomi's husband, his kinsman. His name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him, whose sight I shall find grace." And he said to her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reaping, and her lap was light to a part of the field belonging to Boaz. Well, it goes on to say that she was taking grain. And in the Old Testament law, in the law of Moses, they were not to completely harvest all the grain for people that were starving, for people that were hungry. They could go take the grain and eat it, so that it was charity, it was grace. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." It's kind of a greeting. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this? Who is this girl? Who is this woman?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "This is the woman from Moab. Came back with Naomi from Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued even from the morning till now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hear thou not my daughter, go not to glean in another field, but neither go from here, but stay here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch you? And when you are athirst, you go to the vessels, drink of the water which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found grace in your eyes? Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said, "It has fully been showed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and have come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore." She has found grace in Boaz's eyes. He's taking care of her now. If we continue to read, let's see, where does it go? And she said, "Let me find favor on thy sight, for thou hast comforted me, and thou hast spoken friendly to your handmaid, though I be not like one of your handmaidens." And Boaz said to her, "At mealtime, come hither, eat the bread, dip thy morsel in vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. She did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, let her glean, let her take the grain, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall some handfuls for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she took what she wanted. She went back home to her mother, verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. That is the man that took care of her, that gave her the grain. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, this man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Ruth, the Moabite, said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Charity, grace. Chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? And is not Boaz of our kindred? He's a relative of Elimelech, with whose maidens you were with. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best clothes, and get down to the threshing floor. But make not yourself known to the man until he has done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, lay thee down, and he will tell you what you should do. I think this is absolutely perfectly innocent, and it happened exactly as it's described. She went, she saw where he was laying down, he had a full belly, he wasn't hungry anymore, and he was tired. He went to sleep. She went in. Verse 7, Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, went down to lie at the end of the heap of grain. She came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid down at his feet. It came to pass at midnight, the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Who are you? What are you doing here? I am Ruth, she says, your handmaiden. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for you have showed more kindness in the latter end than at the following, and than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. He covered her up as she slept at his feet and kept his feet warm. That's a very tender, affectionate moment. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of your people, of my people, doth know that you are a virtuous woman. And know that it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Stay this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down into the morning. There was a near kinsman, and if he was not going to take responsibility for Ruth, for Naomi, to take care of them, to feed them, and to make sure they were sheltered, to show them grace, then he would do it. And she lay at his feet until morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came to the floor. And he also said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, where have you been? She told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he to me. And he said to me, go not empty to your mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day. Chapter 4, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by, unto whom he said, hello, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down. And they sat down. And he said to the kinsman, Naomi, that is come out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before these inhabitants, before these elders of my people, if you will redeem it, if you will buy it, buy it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the land of the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem it, redeem thou my right to thyself, I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. And to confirm all things, the man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. This was like a covenant. They traded shoes. So Boaz was going to buy the property. Therefore the kinsman says unto Boaz, buy it for thee. And he drew off his shoe. Verse 9, Boaz said to the elders unto all the people, you are witnesses this day that we've traded shoes. Wait, no. I have brought all that is that was Elimelech's, and that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of his place you are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate, that's kind of where the city council meetings would happen. It was at the gate of the city. The gate, the elders, we are witnesses. The Lord make this woman that has come to your house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah. The seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave them a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which thou hast not left thee this day without kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine own age, and for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, nursed him. Then the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. What a love story. He fed her. He covered her with his coat. He purchased a land that should have been rightfully hers. He redeemed them. He covered her. And she bore him a son. His name was Obed. Obed grew up, became a dad, had a son named Jesse. Jesse was a shepherd. And Jesse had a son named David. This was King David that killed Goliath. This is King David that is spoken of in so many books. But my point is, here is a love story that really reminds us of how Jesus loves us, how he covers us. How it reminds me of, in the New Testament, the woman that washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. What I want to draw here is a parallel between Ruth and Boaz, the love story there. The love story between Hosea and Gomer, the forgiveness and the redemption. And how Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. Let's turn to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verses 5 and 10. Thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and as a wife of thy youth, when thou hast refused, said thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercy will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah. For as I have sworn unto the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that has mercy on thee. Israel had this history of being unfaithful to her husband, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through idolatry. And Hosea was heartbroken by his unfaithful wife, Gomer. But we also have the tenderness, the mercy, the kinsman redeemer, the purchasing of Naomi and Ruth by Boaz. So here we are as men and women. We're not Jews. But in Hosea it talks about those who are not my people will be my people. And I will be their God, says the God of Israel, and they will be my people. That we become adopted, that we become owned, purchased, redeemed by Jesus himself, by his blood. And further parallels are drawn in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. My wife's not here. It's a good thing. And she would confirm how much of a miserable failure I am at that. As Jesus loved the church, he purchased the church with his blood. He suffered. He died. He was crucified. He redeemed the church, and us as men, we're supposed to love like that. I fall so short. I can't do that. But with God, all things are possible. Let's keep this in mind, that Jesus purchased us, that He redeemed us. In a love story, that's the third love story, that Jesus loves His church. He loves His people. He loves those who were given to Him. And that we are His, and that He is ours. That we were not His people, that we are now His people. And He was not our God, and He is now our God. What a love story. What has He done for us while we were still sinners? He purchased us. He made us His. Father, thank You for Your grace, for Your mercy. Father, I pray that we can all hear and understand the love story. The love story that You have given us through Your Word, through the Bible. How You've purchased us and redeemed us, made us Yours, taken care of our every need. We thank You, we worship You, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.